Blessed Jesus. As we were worshiping at the very beginning, the very first song, the Holy Spirit began to come upon me in waves. And he spoke to me. He said, "This is the beginning of the great wave of intercessors, end time intercessors that he's raising up. This is the beginning." When I say end time, I don't mean end time like, you know, next 10 years. It's whatever he has purposed. But there is an army of intercessors that have to preface what God is going to do. And this is the beginning of that army. Neither am I saying that only those who are here are part of that army. I'm just saying this is the beginning of the army. If you could only know, if you could only understand how much he needs you. You say, "Well, God doesn't really need anybody." Well, that's not true. He determined that he needed you the day he created man. And he determined also that he would do a great work through humanity, those that are his. The fire of God is so strong inside me right now. I just need you to stand up. I need you to stand in the presence of the Lord. Not many value intercessors. You know, we're kind of a weird group, peculiar, and just not many value intercessors. But there is one who does. And the value that he places upon you is so great. I received a most beautiful letter from Adrian, a friend of mine, and I'm not going to go into depths about it because it would take too long. But in it, he shared the heart and the ministry of intercession that just brought me to tears. Some think even because they suffer to pray that there's something wrong with them, or that God is somehow offended with them. And yet that is so much a part of the ministry of intercession. Vicarious suffering. I'm not asking you to go out and try to find some suffering to get into. It just comes with the territory. You know, a wife doesn't get dinner ready in time because she was praying, and the husband doesn't understand and he's upset, and she's just had a wonderful time with the Lord and he's almost taking her to hell, you know. It's few people understand the walk and the call of intercession. But I want you to lift your hands to Jesus, because he's going to bless you right now for your faithfulness. Lord, I just thank you. I thank you that your Spirit is moving across this room. Touching hearts, Lord. Strengthening, blessing. Giving, Father, what they need so badly to fulfill the call that's on their lives. Thank you. Lord, just pour it on them. Pour it on. Take the burdens, Lord. Take the burdens off their shoulders. Take the fears and the anxieties, all the things that are perplexing them, and replace it with your love. Let your manifest presence come upon them, Lord. Give him glory. Give him glory. Give him glory. Let your joy well up in their hearts, Lord. Let them feel the joy of your pleasure. Isn't that better? You may be seated. God is good. God is very good. He spoke to me in this last week, and he told me that the age that we had been in has come to a close. The kingdom age has dawned. You may think, well, we sure don't see, you know, the great signs and wonders that tell us that it's gone, but he's doing something else right now. He's working very diligently to overturn nations. And he doesn't need signs and wonders to do that. The signs and wonders will come, but that's for a different purpose. Right now, he wants to turn America into a nation that fears God. That is his top priority. We will either go the way of the New World Order. How many of you want to do that? Or we will go the way of God's New World Order. And he has so purposed and so designed things that we will go his way. So, the kingdom age has dawned. It's open. And with that, there is a new Congress. In the past, the Congress has been people like James Dobson, Chuck Colson. Oh, I could go on and on. You know, some charismatic leaders, some Baptist leaders, just leaders from different areas of the body of Christ. They have been the old Congress. This is what he showed me. But that has come to a close. And there's an overlapping where, you know, it gradually goes out and the new gradually comes in. And so he has opened the new Congress. And our gatherings are part of that. We're not the only Congress out there, but we're part of it. So this morning, as we were in the second song worshiping, the Lord Jesus Christ came in. He stood right up here in front, and he extended his scepter to us. Because we have congressional authority for this set of meetings to establish certain things in the heavens and in the earth. He did that for us also in a different way, but nevertheless, very powerfully in D.C. But he was doing it also this week because the nation needs it. We've been on this journey for a long time. Long time. I think our first gathering was 1999, maybe. And so we've been at it a long time, and there's been a lot of garbage that has had to be cleaned up before God could do for America what he wanted to do. I think, and I don't think I'm being, I don't think I'm being unrealistic. I think, well, I can remember when a very dear friend of mine, a prophet, well-known prophet, was talking to me about the gatherings, and his wife looked at him and she said, you know, if Nita does not succeed in the gatherings, all your plans are going to get laid in the dust because the New World Order is going to take over. And it is true. God has ordained a certain ministry, which happens to be ours, to put a stop to the onward development of the New World Order. You see 500 intercessors in a room, but really there are thousands because heaven is praying with us. You know, the Lord has, he let me meet the angel that works with the gatherings. That was an experience. And I met him on the way out. He came to me to tell me he was leaving and giving way to the next level of authority. So, you know, we have lots of angels, we have lots of intercessors in heaven and on earth that are working with us. Because this goal that the Lord Jesus has for America is so important. You know, it's like a sinkhole. You look at a sinkhole, it starts, and the dirt just keeps falling in, and the hole gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And you stand there terrified, when is this going to stop? And that is where America was. We were sinking into the sinkhole of a new world order. Now, I know you can listen to some people and some programs, and it sounds like we still are, but I'm telling you, in a moment, when you least expect it, you're going to see that God has intervened. I can give one example right now. Who could have ever dreamed that God would do what he's doing to the Catholic Church right now? So what he's doing there, he's going to do in America. He's going to reveal what needs to be revealed, and he's going to bring forth what must come forth. Why? Because there has been identificational repentance that has cleared up so much of the blood issues, the innocent blood issues in America. And those who have come to, you know, meeting after meeting, gathering after gathering, AICs like we're doing right now, and you have stayed faithful and you have stayed true to the horrid job of having to repent of the sins of the generations. You are the ones that save this country. When Jesus appeared to me in the very beginning and spent 3 hours talking to me about the gatherings, he said, if we were faithful, he would save America. And he will. But he's going to do more than that. That's what's so exciting. And that's what I want to talk to you about this afternoon. So do you have your paper? And when he first began to speak to me about what the gatherings were all about, a prophet came to me somewhere in the second year and said to me, "You don't even know what the gatherings are about." And I thought, you know, rather indignantly, "I guess I do." But he said, "You have not even touched what God is going to do through the gatherings. He has not even given you the vision of it. You are in the first level only, and it will go up four levels to produce what God wants produced. And that's where we're headed right now, into the fourth level. We've already crossed the threshold to enter into the fourth level. And that's what I want to talk to you about this afternoon, because you need to understand, you need to focus your prayers, you need to comprehend where God is heading in this nation. And as you do that, it will make your prayers much more effective. Now, if you've heard this before or heard any little part of what I'm going to say, just let it sink in, because you can't hear it enough. If you haven't, you may think that this is so against everything you've ever heard about where we are supposed to be at this moment, that it may shake some things, but it's a good shaking. It's a wonderful shaking. It's a shaking full of hope, not despair. Amen. For the ceremonies deal, this is Hebrews chapter 9, verse 10. "For the ceremonies deal only with clean and unclean meats and drinks and different washings, mere external rules and regulations for the body imposed to tide the worshipers over until the time of setting things straight, of reformation of the complete new order, when Christ the Messiah shall establish the reality of what these things foreshadow." Now, he's been doing that for 2,000 years at, you know, various levels, establishing different things. But this that he is doing at this moment will amaze you. I promise you. How many of you can look at the government that we have here in America and think, what was God thinking when he gave us what we've got? And it feels so discouraging, doesn't it? You pray and you pray and you pray, and then at the peak of your hope, you find us jumping out of the frying pan and into the fire. It's very discouraging. But God is going to, he's going to do something that only God can do. He's going to go into the heart of our government, and he's going to shake and shake and shake and shake and shake until everything that is not of him is shaken out. Now, I want you to know that he planned this a long time ago. And he's already built not only the foundation, but the protective wall around the government so that America can stand through the shaking. Out of this, he is going to bring forth the government that our forefathers established in the earliest days. And America feels like it's reeling. God is going to bring forth a new government. It is going to be a government designed after the why can't I think of that word? It's a word you learn, you know, like when you're in the second or third grade. It's not a hard word. But the pattern is going to be designed after the pattern of the republic that the founding fathers sent forth. There are some things that have been done to our Constitution that's going to be overturned. Our Constitution is going to be as it was in the beginning. It's going to be a nation whose heart is running after God. Before our DC gathering, I spent a month, can you believe it, a month, where around the peripheral of me, I saw constantly, like groups of people meeting, small groups of people, and they were discussing America, and they were discussing how the nation needs to go, and they were discussing how the revolution, say revolution, how the revolution needed to go. How was the government going to be reshaped, reformed? What would have to happen? What would need to be accomplished in the revolution? That is the word they were all using. You know, they were dressed in the old garb, the old, you know, back in the days of the first revolution. That's what they were wearing. But they were like hidden. They weren't people that had high focus, but they were, you know, attorneys, they were doctors, they were politicians, they were people who were well educated and could bring forth whatever they were seeking to do. Talking. For 1 month, that's what I lived under. It was so real to me. It felt like I was in two worlds. I used to tell Hong and John and Carol about what was going on. I'd tell Shio what was going on because it was with me constantly. It was more real to me than the world I was walking in with my feet. And I kept saying to the Lord, "You're really going to do this, aren't you?" And he would say to me, "I am." And do you know why he's going to? Do you know why he can? Because you pray. You are birthing what he's going to do. We are together this week to take the next step to birth this incredible thing. It's not going to happen all at once. It will take time. The revolution took time the first time. Many people gave their lives in that revolution, and not just the soldiers, but even those who signed the declaration. It's going to take time, and it's going to take more prayer and more prayer. And that's why God is raising up and is going to raise up a mighty army of intercessors across this nation to ensure that this thing is going to happen. The elite, the New World Order elite, they do not think they have got this thing in the bucket. In fact, they are very concerned that if they do not fulfill their agenda this year, they're going to lose it for a long time. Those people are so hard-hearted, they fear nothing, not a single thing, except one thing. And do you know what that is? Your prayer. They do fear the prayers of the church. If the New World Order had succeeded, what we would be dealing with very soon, maybe in a matter of months, is a Nazi Germany. You have no idea. I can remember years ago when an angel appeared to me and he took me to, I think, someplace in New York, and he took me to Washington, D.C. And he took me to what was a a shelter for the elite for a time of war. I'm telling you, that place was extravagant. It was beautiful. And he talked to me about dimensions and, you know, and how they built it and so on and so forth. When he finished talking to me about it, he began to weep. And finally I said, "Why are you weeping?" He said, "If you only knew the games they have planned for you. If you only knew what they were getting ready to do, you would understand why I'm weeping. They are so hard-hearted, they don't care what the loss. They don't care what the suffering. They don't care what it takes to accomplish what they want to do. They just want to do it. But the Lord's heart, although breaking for their arrogance, has decided he's not going to let them have their way. Like he so often does. I mean, we make jokes about, you know, the last 5 minute God. Like he so often does, he allows everything to come to a crescendo. And then he just pulls the carpet out from under it. And you think, it was so simple. It was so easy. Why did he take so long? Well, because he has a message to give. He has a message to give to his church. He has a message to give to the world. And he has a message to give to the New World Order. The message that he wants to give is that he alone is God. Things can come forward only in his time. They can work and work and work and scheme and scheme and scheme. But when the Lord says it's not time, everything stops. And you can't move forward, I don't care who you are, when the Lord has set the declaration. You cannot move forward. So they are building, 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 thinking that they've got something to put in the building when they're done. And we are not to fear that. We're not to, I don't want you to sit around and listen to the latest news about the New World Order, because that's not going to help your faith. They're building a building that will stand empty for a while. Now we know that it has to come sometime, don't we? Because the Bible said it. But do you know that it does not have to come to America? God has created America to be a covering for Israel. But he's also created America to be a father to the nations, to be a shade tree in the storm. And when he solidifies America, America is going to help many nations that do not want to come in under the Antichrist and the Antichrist system. America is going to help them fight for their liberty. So there's a reason for doing what he's doing. As far as the church is concerned, the church is going to be brought into its maturity. I spoke about it in my book, Prepare for the Winds of Change. The church is going to be brought into its maturity, where the sons of God are going to come forth. Melchizedek is going to come forth. The mighty men of valor are going to come forth and prepare the bride. Prepare and strengthen and heal and equip the church to be what she was created to be from the beginning. Where she is right now is not what she was created to be. She doesn't bear the beauty. We look too much like the world. Do you agree? We look too much like the world. We also, please forgive me, don't be offended, but we also smell a little like the world. We act a lot like the world. We don't walk in the virtues of Christ. Our minds are plagued with worldly thoughts. And the whole thing shows to the world. We think that evangelism is, I can remember one teacher said that, you know, if you want to win a homeless man to the Lord, you don't sit out there in your jeans and, you know, sweatshirt and try to grab his attention. If you want to win a homeless man to the Lord, you go out, you put on your best suit, you know, get all decked out, and let him know what making a good income can do for him. And that Jesus will help him in all that. I listened to that and I thought, well, it's obvious he's never been out street witnessing. I have a friend here, David, over by the door. He and his wife and Patricia, they win so many people to the Lord. And one man, I had tried to win to the Lord a lot. And I kept telling, you know, my staff, just keep plugging away at this guy because he's got my heart and I want to see him saved. So even though he wasn't a Christian, we kept him humming around us as much as we could. And so one day up on the roof, David wins this person to the Lord. So I said, Lamar, what happened? I mean, we have all tried to win you to Jesus. Why did you say yes when David introduced the Lord? And he said, it's so funny, he said, "'Cause David got away. David got away. He just got away." Meaning, you know, he's got a way about him. And I said, well, what is that way? He said, he's just so humble. And his humility, you know, softened my heart. So I don't think it's business suits that's going to win the nation to the Lord. What I think it is power. The power and authority of God coming from a humble church. The Lord is going to sweep across this nation like we have never, ever experienced, ever. But there is need for humility and there is need for power. I think that the enemy has tricked a lot of ministers. And this is how I think he's tricked them. Ministers like to keep busy because their hearts are burdened for the lost, their hearts are burdened for the church, their hearts are burdened for this, burdened for that. And a minister can get so busy that he has very little time to pray. Trying to get everything done that all of these conferences say you have to do if you want a successful church or a successful ministry. They're doing what they think is the right thing to do. And they're doing it with all their heart. What they don't understand is because they're so busy doing, they have left the place of authority. And the only way you gain authority in the kingdom is through prayer. So if you don't spend the time in prayer, 2 or 3 hours a day, you're not going to have the authority you need to conquer what you're being sent out to conquer. If the pastor doesn't have it, neither is the church going to have it. Satan's trick is to keep the pastor so busy with programs, doing the best that they know how, that they leave the prayer closet. Not because they want to, but because there's no time or energy left to spend it in extensive prayer time. But you can't get authority, not heaven's authority, by programs. Only way to get it is through fasting and prayer. And the virtues of Christ. God is getting ready to bring forth is a leadership of divine love. Divine love, divine humility, and divine power. Divine authority. When that authority comes, the world is not going to know what hit it. I can remember years and years ago, I was teaching in a Bible school, and I suddenly had a vision. I saw Satan put Jesus on a cross. I saw the sufferings that the Lord went through. Satan and all of his minions, they were just laughing. They were in hysterics. They were so proud of themselves because they finally accomplished it. The Lord died and was resurrected. And when that happened, Satan and all of his minions went into terror. Because what happened right after that is I saw maybe thousands, maybe millions, I have no, they're uncountable amounts of people looking just like Jesus, doing the works of Jesus, going across the earth. And Satan turned and said to his minions, "You fools, what did you do? Look what happened." And they just stood there, you know, stunned, because he's the one that told them what to do. But they couldn't stop it. And I believe what is coming forth very soon is what they saw. A church that really looks and acts like Jesus, walking in the divine authority, walking in the divine power, walking in the divine love, walking in the divine humility. Even the world will look at them and not know or understand, what is these people? But so many will be swept into the kingdom when they see the armies of the Lord. Love will be so profuse. There won't be, you know, racial issues in the church. There won't be, I hate my neighbor issues in the church. Baptists aren't going to be fighting the Assemblies of God, and, you know, charismatic churches aren't going to be fighting other churches. All that's going to be laid at the cross for the sake of love. It's not going to be this kind of thing either where we're embracing every false doctrine that blows our way. Because with pure love, there's hunger for true truth, pure truth. He who is truth. And the desire to grow close to him will be so strong that people will allow their hearts to be opened and surgery to be done so that truth can be imparted where? In the inner man. Isn't that what the psalm says? You desire truth in the inward man? That truth will go so deep, it will transform the bearer of it. And another Jesus-like figure will be born. So Satan saw it. When he saw it, it kind of gave him a heart attack, because he knew what he was going to have to deal with until the day. So you have a new government. Where this government is going to sweep across the earth, I don't know. You know, America, as a republic, really got the world's attention And a lot of things changed in a lot of places in the earth because of what we did. Now, today, how much greater is that going to be? When, you know, the world knows every minute of every day, everything that's going on in America. There are nations that are going to be utterly, literally transformed. Nations that will, you know, become republics. And life in those nations will be brought back to what God has always intended for it to be. Now, I'm carrying this burden. And because I'm carrying it, now you're carrying it. If it's not real important to you, don't sacrifice for it. Don't pray about it. Just let it go. But if something like this, if this kind of dream, this kind of vision, if you can really believe that God is saying yes, then it's time to sacrifice. It's time to pray. It's time to get involved. It's time to get on your knees, find out what God wants you to do to make sure this thing happens, and then do it. Some people are going to be called to be part of that new government. Some people are going to be called to be part of the new economic sphere in America that will come out of this new government. Some people are going to be called to be teachers in the universities, to teach the way of this new government. I can't imagine what God is going to do to the universities to get all of that garbage and corruption out of our universities. But he's going to do something. He is. So some people are called, you know, not to take over the reins where the people see, but some people are called to pray, and to pray diligently, to pray with all of their hearts, with all of their mights. When the Lord calls them to pray, they'll stop at anything to go and hide themselves away for God's vision. I don't know. I ask him, Lord, can this thing still be lost? Have you come to a place where you have determined that if this person won't pray, you're going to move to the next person and let them have the blessing? Is it that kind of thing? So that your vision is not going to be lost no matter what? Or is it one of those things that if the body doesn't pick it up and run with it, we could still lose it? He hasn't answered my question yet, but I believe with all my heart that he's at a place where he is going to work supernaturally because we have repented for all the spilling of the innocent blood. Are you aware that probably the major control in America is not the money elite? Are you aware of that? The major control is the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church and the elite work hand in hand. Nothing happens that the Catholic Church is not right in the middle of. But there is a source, there is a force that is greater than the Catholic Church. And that is you. That is God's praying church. Turn with me, please, to Matthew chapter 10 for a few minutes. And Jesus summoned to him his 12 disciples and gave them power and authority over unclean spirits to drive them out and to cure all kinds of disease and all kinds of weakness and infirmity. And he said, as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Verse 7 and 8, cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, drive out demons freely without pay you have received, freely without charge give. This was a major revolution in Israel. The spirit of revolution had come upon the nation through Christ. What he did in the brief time of his ministry was world-changing. You know, it was like someone plopping a pebble in the pond, and the ripples go out, and they go out, and they go out, and it comes to a time where you lose track of where the pebble went into the pond. And that's what happened. The pebble went into the pond of Israel, and the ripples began to go out, go out, go out across the nations, until finally America was born. You look back and you can't even see the place where the pebble fell. Nevertheless, a revolution had been born. It was born, signs and wonders were performed, a church was born. In the book of Acts, we saw the church coming forth, going out to the nations of the world to perfect what God had intended to perfect. We see wherever the church goes that there are changes that take place, even in governments. Now he has released a new mantle of revolution. I was ministering in Pastor Lenny's church several years ago, and I was in my room, I was praying. Suddenly, I was overwhelmed with a spirit of revolution. It was so exciting. It was like the very air was filled with energy, filled with faith, filled with vision to change a nation. And I said to the Lord, I just started laughing because it was so wonderful. I said to him, Lord, what is this? What are you showing me? And he said, this is the spirit that I put upon America in the first revolution. I said, you're kidding. You mean you did that? He said, I also put it upon Martin Luther King. I said, that was a revolution from you? That's really exciting. And he said, and I'm going to do it again. Isn't that exciting? He said, because there were things that were not finished then, that was foundational, and what I'm going to do next is greater than anything that has ever been done before. I have been waiting for that revolution. I have been waiting for it ever since. Looking for it, looking for it, looking to see how it was going to be manifest, looking to see, you know, am I looking in the face of one of those who are behind closed doors, dreaming, talking, facilitating? I've been looking for it. This year, the Lord baptized me in a spirit of revolution. And when I got up to minister and tell the story, it would come. And the people could feel it in their hearts. They could feel the faith, the joy, the hope, the victory. You know, it was so prevalent, and it was given in such a way that any who really wanted to believe could capture it. What is coming is going to be born through the hands of prayer. God is going to so deal with this new world order thing, these elite, at least in the area of America. And I believe Canada, and I believe Korea. He's going to move in some of these nations in such a way that it's going to be astounding. But we've got to get ready. We've got to birth it. You can't. A mother that's having a baby, you don't stop once that baby's coming and say, "This is getting too hard for me." The baby must come forth. The tears of God is compelling it to save millions of people alive, give them hope for a future. Well, just look at the church. How many of you, I want you to be honest with me, because we're family, right? Say yes. How many of you have honestly spent time trying to overcome fear of the coming of Antichrist? Raise your hands. How many of you have wrestled against the reality that you know he's very close, and you keep telling yourself, have faith, have faith, have faith? How many of you have even known depression, thinking the elite are going to take over and there's no way we can stop it in our nation? Thank you for your honesty. So what I'm saying to you is different than you've been hearing. And I don't care if 10,000 of people tell you what they've been telling you for the last so many years. The truth is, God has got another plan. He's got another plan. And he needs you to help carry the burden of it. Not just when we're together, but when we're separated. When you leave this place, keep praying. I'm going to show you how to pray. I'm going to talk to you about how to pray. Pray, 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 because we're in a very critical time in the birth of this thing. It's birthing. It's birthing. And it's going to birth like a mushroom cloud before it's over. Many people will get saved from the elite. And I'm so thankful for that, because you know, they're raised up in that stuff. It is so bad what they have to go through. It's horrible. It's like living in a torture chamber. God is going to deliver many from that. Many that are seeking not only freedom, but refuge. He is going to so shake the elite, so shake the New World Order, plans and purposes, that they're not going to know what to do. They're going to be like, you know, bowling pins, just trying to stay up. There's going to be a season of time they're not going to know what to do. They fear that the fall is going to be this year, but they have no idea how bad it's going to be. I don't know how bad it will be this year. I think it's going to start tumbling and tumbling and tumbling, and the tumbling will keep getting, like a snowball going downhill. It's just going to keep getting bigger and bigger, and they're going to stand there and say, "This cannot be happening. We put up all kinds of, you know, things to make sure that this didn't happen. This cannot be happening," but it's going to be happening. You have to be willing to abort where you've been and believe for something new. When Jesus sat in front of me so many years ago and told me to do what we do, I never could have dreamed that I'd be standing here someday saying to you, God is going to start a revolution in our nation. I never dreamed. Praise the Lord. Is that worth praying for? I'm going to go through different aspects of the New World Order before the end of the week. We're going to discuss it, and I'm going to show you how to pray over those things. We're also going to have some very serious conversations about the Catholic Church And we're going to pray. Everything that's happening right now, we have prayed for in the gatherings. And God is answering prayer. I've got a stack about this big of things that I've taken off the internet after each gathering, or that people have sent to me after each gathering. Things that came to pass that man could not have orchestrated, but God did to specific answers of prayer. After every meeting we have, He wants to do this, you guys. But even through all of that, I could never have dreamed that someday I'd be standing in front of a group of anybody, 5 people, 10 people, 100 people, 500 people. I never dreamed I would be 1,000 people, 2,000 people. I never dreamed I'd be standing in front of the church and saying a revolution is coming. And it's coming very soon. It's coming so soon, you need to get your running shoes on. Isn't God fun? He is fun. He's fun and He's so smart. He used to be everywhere I go, you know, because I'm a prophet, and so prophets are always supposed to have, you know, bad words. All the troubles and perplexities, and we're coming into some of those. You know, I don't want to fill your head with everything's wonderful when we're going to experience some of the tough stuff too. But people would come up to me and tell me about their dreams and their visions that confirmed whatever I gave. And it's so wonderful that today I'm giving such a good message, such a good report. It's so exciting. And people come up to me and they'll say, so that's what God was trying to tell me in this vision or that dream. God is speaking. He is speaking, and you're free to believe it. Amen. Okay, let's pray.